here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in third and final hour here on Wednesday morning, and the sun is starting to break through out the window here of the WBSM studio, but you can still see some of the dark clouds out there. Nice breeze happening, though, but it's still going to be warm and muggy and gross out there, so keep that in mind. I was grateful for that breeze last night because, you know, here yesterday, it was hot and humid, but it wasn't too bad because there was a breeze that was happening. And it felt to me like it was cooler than it was on Monday. But then I was like, well, I'm going to Mansfield, though, which is inland. And it's going to be hotter and it's going to be muggier and it's going to be grosser. And there was still a nice little breeze that kind of cooled things down. And I was surprised. I thought I would be miserable in the weather, and it didn't even factor into my brain. Had a great time. And there were a lot of folks apparently at that concert, because I'm seeing from some of the listeners and other folks on social media saying, I was there. And I didn't see any of you. Where were you all? Next time we all get a meetup. I was trying to meet a friend who was originally going to go with me, but then went with a bridal party she's in. They all ended up getting tickets. So I was like, no, go hang out with them. But we were like, let's just make sure we get a chance to say hi to each other. And it was like a comedy of errors trying to meet up, not only during the show, whenever, obviously everybody's moving around and it's busy and congested, but after the show too. But we finally did end up meeting up and, you know, got to say hello. And I said, well, I might as well hang out and talk a little bit, because it's not like we're leaving the parking lot anytime soon. So I got home at 1:30, slept until 4:30. So you're getting the Tim Meisberg Show on 3 hours sleep. So enjoy whatever this is. You know what happens to me when I get tired? I just ramble. So who knows where the conversation could go. But in the first couple of hours, we were talking about this issue yesterday where there were three different bridges on the South Coast that all were closed for a brief period of time yesterday, and all for different reasons. First, the New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge was closed for about 20, 25 minutes when the power went out while the bridge was trying to close. You know, like physically, the bridge was trying to close to reopen for vehicle traffic after a boat had passed through. And while it was in the process of closing, the power went out and it stopped. And they had to have a contractor hook it up to the generator and use the generator power to finish closing the bridge. But I get it. I get that it's 121 years old. But shouldn't there be a redundancy for that? shouldn't there be like a battery backup for whatever operates the mechanism that closes the bridge? Shouldn't the generator kick in automatically like it does here if the power goes out? I don't know how it works. I don't pretend to know, but it just was a little surprising that a power outage hitting at just the right time means that bridge isn't opening or closing. But they got that taken care of pretty quickly. Then the Peyton-Aaron Bridge was shut down for about an hour yesterday morning. But that was not any kind of mechanical failure or anything. That was the DPW closing it to get ready for the maintenance that will happen on Thursday. They're going to be shutting down the Peyton-Aaron Bridge on Thursday for, what's that, 8.5 hours from 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. So if you normally travel that way, I would just assume that on Thursday you're not traveling that way. This is just routine maintenance. But they closed it down for an hour, and I guess people didn't know about it because there were a lot of folks who were, you know, posting on social media about it being broken, or they weren't aware that it was going to be closed down. And then in the afternoon, you know, after we've written now two stories about bridge closures, it's like, well, that's my day. Can't be any more bridge closures happening. I'm going to go home and get ready to go to the concert. And as I'm packing up and getting ready to leave, we find out a third bridge had an issue. The Veterans Memorial Bridge in Somerset. The rail that comes down to keep cars from driving forward had malfunctioned. The control arm, the traffic control arm, they call it, it had malfunctioned. And so for about 40 minutes, they had a lane of that bridge where cars couldn't move. The police had to go up onto the bridge and make it so that the folks who were stuck there could leave, because you know how people are, right? You see all these people in that lane that are stuck and you say, hi, you just drive right by them. But like, no, stop. We got to let them turn around and get off the bridge. And they've got to go into the other lane because the bridge was closed. The control arm was just down. So I think, you know, these are all separate incidents. Just a weird coincidence. But of course, the conspiracy theories start. Now, this is how they want to control us. Really? I mean, if you're going to have a conspiracy theory about it, I guess your conspiracy theory could be that the bridge operators are purposely making it so the bridges don't work so that we can get more infrastructure money to replace them. But I don't think you can say that they're trying to control you by making you sit in traffic on a hot day. That's not control. That's punishment. Especially if you don't have air conditioning like I have, like I don't have. Got to get that fixed. But the fact is, you know, and MassDOT in my communications with their spokesperson, John Goggin, yesterday, you know, nothing to connect any of these things together. Again, one of them was, you know, planned. One of them was actual human agency. So it's just a weird thing where, and it wasn't even like you can say it was the heat or humidity that caused it, because it was separate issues. And also, it was worse on Monday and these issues weren't happening. So I think it's just a strange day. And if you somehow were a person that was on, that needed to use all three bridges in one day yesterday, you should have bought a lottery ticket. But we kind of tied that in the last hour to the fact that in Rhode Island, there hasn't been a single bidder for the Washington Bridge project. They're going to have to alter the timeline because it seems like the construction companies feel that the August 2026 completion date is just too aggressive of a timeline and that they can't meet it. So nobody's going to bid on something that they know they're not going to be able to deliver on. So they just sit back and wait and see if that deadline gets extended, that planned completion date gets extended, and it's going to have to. And I don't know how they went into making that decision. You know, did they consult with construction experts? Did they consult with, because you can't, you know, talk to the companies about it until you have the formal request for proposal out. But you could fact gather, I'm sure. You could talk to engineers and architects, and there's probably construction consultants that you could speak with and say, what do you think a reasonable timeline is for this project? I get it. Dan McKee wants to stand there and say, we're going to get this done as soon as possible, because people are ticked off about it. The transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, came down and said, we're going to get this done as quick as possible. But as quick as possible has to be realistic, especially for the size of this project. And you think, that's bad. Well, you're going to be dealing with it coming up when they take down the New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge and they put in the new vertical lift bridge. It's going to be a multi-year process. And this isn't something that's going to happen over the course of a couple of months. As quickly of a job as they've done with the pedestrian bridge over Route 18, this is much, much different. So you're going to be without that bridge for a couple of years. You're going to be dealing with more traffic on Cogswell Street. You're going to be dealing with more traffic on Route 18. You're going to be dealing with more traffic on 195 because people are not going to be able to. I mean, I think a lot of people avoid the bridge anyway. But when nobody can use it at all, that's going to increase the traffic. I mean, we've already got the mysterious traffic backup every day on 195. And anytime between 4 and 5 or 4 and 6, you just get that random backup. And if you're heading toward Dartmouth, you get through it and you get up to about the 140 exchange. And you're like, wait, what was that traffic all about? Well, there's no crash. There's no disabled vehicle. There's no construction. What was that about? It just happens. And then they're working on the Route 18 on-ramp and off-ramp, which is going to cause more headaches. But this is stuff that's got to get done. This is stuff that is long overdue and is finally getting remedied. 508-996-0500. And you might not ever use the New Bedford Fairhaven Bridge. You might not ever use the Veterans Memorial Bridge or the Paden Aaron Bridge. But I guarantee you there's bridges in your community that need replacing. Might not be something as big as, say, the Braga Bridge or the Cape Cod Bridges. It could be something small. There's a bridge in Wareham that's been shut down for years. And they were getting the money, they were getting the funding to be able to fix it, but it was shut down for years. And it was fine. It didn't break. It was just determined that it wasn't structurally strong enough for people to keep driving over. And what's funny about it is it's over the Herring Run. Most people didn't even realize it was a bridge, because you were just driving down a road. There was nothing that really indicated that it was a bridge, except for the spot by the Herring Run where you could stand on the side and look and watch the Herring Run. But other than that, you would have just thought you were driving down a road. And it frustrated people to no end. Why is this closed? Why do they close this road? I don't get it. It's because it's actually a bridge. And I remember when they made the announcement of the federal money that was coming in to fix these bridges. I forget if it was federal or state, but this money was coming in to fix these bridges. And I looked, and it was such a low amount. I said, how did the town not have that much money to be able to fix this thing? But the other part of it is it wasn't a big priority for the town because there's like two businesses and maybe, I think, one house on the road. Well, three businesses. One you can get to from the Cranberry Highway. But most people just use it as a shortcut to avoid having to go down and turn right in front of Mill Pond Diner coming off the Main Street area. But people lost their minds because they couldn't use that road anymore. So, like I said, these bridges that, you know, had issues yesterday, you might not ever go over them. They might not affect you at all. But there are bridges that will. And we don't want to be in a position like Rhode Island where nobody wants to take the job of fixing them when they need to be fixed. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Don't forget that we are giving away tickets all this week to see Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire. July 27th at the Xfinity Center in Mansfield. Super easy to enter to win. You just have to go to WBSM.com or the app. And if you go on the website, you'll see right up in the middle of the top of the page, it says, you know, win Chicago tickets. Click on that. If you don't see that, just go up to the contest tab at the top. You don't see that? When you go on the website, it'll be one of the first pictures, first little boxes you see in the upper right-hand corner. We try to put them in a lot of spaces so that it's easy to catch and easy to enter. And if you go on the app, there's the little button, the hamburger, the cheeseburger, whatever, McDonald's, Tasty Golden French Fries, regular and larger sizes, up in the upper left-hand corner, the three lines. You click on that, and then you'll see contest right there. Click on that. It'll be the top one. And all you got to do is put in your name and your contact info. That enters you in to win. If you are randomly selected as the winner, Casey will contact you to let you know, send you all the paperwork to sign virtually. You sign it all, send it back, then she'll send you the tickets virtually. So you don't even need to come down here. And it's great because you can transfer those tickets to anybody that you want. So if you're going to bring your friend and you live in New Bedford and your friend lives in Quincy, and you're like, oh, well, let's find a place to meet up, or I'll pick you up, or you pick me up. You don't have to worry about that. Just send them their ticket on their Ticketmaster or Live Nation app. And then they can arrive and you can arrive and you can both get in. You can meet each other in your seats. I mean, maybe you want to like get together ahead of time. That's up to you. It's your friend. But it's very helpful. I was so I'll tell you, and don't steal my idea. But last night I went, excuse me there, I had to sneeze. I went to the concert. My tickets were on the lawn. And when I got there, I didn't bring, because there's chairs on the lawn now, seats, like actual seats. And then there's the back section of the lawn at Xfinity Center. And some shows, those seats are general admission and anybody can just go sit in them. Other shows, it's assigned seating. And so I wasn't sure exactly how this one was going to work. It said I had an assigned seat and a row and a number, but it also said general admission. So I was like, I think I can go sit in the seat, but I was like, so I was just going to go and rent a chair from the chair rental thing in the back of the lawn area and sit in that, because I didn't bring a blanket or anything. And so I was going to go rent the chair, and they have you scan this QR code to pay for it on your phone, on your app. And when I scanned it, I saw the option to upgrade my seat. And for $20, I could move down to the pavilion, to the shed, as it's called, and be in Section 8. And so I said to the kid that was kind of standing there working security, I said, how much is it to rent one of these chairs? And he says, $20. And I said, so if I pay $20 on the app right here, I can go move to down in section 8? And he goes, yep. So I'm just going to do that instead. So it was great. And I go to a lot of concerts alone, so I'm going to keep that in mind, you know? But don't go stealing my idea so that I can't do it when I get there. Save me some of those upgraded seats. That's the thing. A lot of these shows, as much as, you know, they've been filling up Xfinity Center this summer, and they've had all these great shows, a lot of people, I think, for reasons of wanting to save money, wanting to be able to see as many concerts as they can without paying a lot, they've been getting lawn seats instead. You know, the lawn area was completely full, but there were still some seats open. So I think they've, you know, decided that we're going to, it's kind of like what they do at wrestling. When you go to see the WWE, a lot of people will buy the cheap seats up in the back because those are like $30-$40 a ticket. But they don't want to have empty seats when the television cameras are on, pointed at the ring. So they'll go up into the cheap seats and they'll say to people, here, we're going to upgrade you down to the loge, so that you will fill up the seats on television. You don't want to have a performer come out and see a half-empty pavilion while everybody's up on the lawn, so you can move people down. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be right back. That's my favorite Third Eye Blind song. Looking forward to hearing that on Saturday. But right now, I've made him wait too long. It's time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The NATO summit gets underway in D.C. with President Biden in the spotlight. Ceasefire talks resume between Israel and Hamas. And is social media making us lonelier?
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden is kicking off this week's NATO summit in Washington, D.C. by marking the 75th anniversary of the alliance.
Pleasure to host you in this milestone year. To look back with pride at all we've achieved and look ahead to our shared future with strength and with resolve.
The summit comes at a critical time for Biden as he faces major pressure from fellow Democrats to show he's fit to serve another 4 years as president. Biden said NATO is more powerful than ever, citing better resources and stronger alliances. He added that Ukraine can and will stop Putin as it continues its war against Russia. Donald Trump is challenging Biden to another debate and a round of golf while hosting a campaign rally in Florida on Tuesday. Trump said he's officially offering Biden the chance to redeem himself in front of the entire world after his poor debate performance last month.
It went along, and after a couple of minutes, I was saying, what's going on out here? It was a little bit strange. I think the whole event, it was amazing as an event, but it was a little bit strange. He didn't do too well.
Trump suggested they hold another debate this week, but Biden can't do that with NATO happening. Trump also challenged Biden to an 18-hole golf match, saying he would donate $1 million to a charity of Biden's choice if the president wins. Trump, meanwhile, is teasing Marco Rubio as a potential running mate. The suspected shooter at Yellowstone National Park allegedly threatened violence on a larger scale. The park explained Lucas Fussner had plans to carry out a mass shooting during Independence Day events outside the park. He was holding a woman against her will when park rangers found him with a gun last Thursday and killed him in a shootout. Ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas are set to resume today in Qatar. 9 months into the war, that's claimed thousands of lives in the Gaza Strip. NBC's Matt Bradley with more from Tel Aviv.
And we heard from Hamas saying that Israel's continued incursions in the Gaza Strip are making this deal and these renewed negotiations less and less likely because of the continuing fighting.
Part of that renewed Israeli offensive this week left nearly 30 dead in an Israeli airstrike in a tent city set up for displaced Palestinians. Israeli forces are pushing deeper into parts of Gaza City, where residents say soldiers are searching door-to-door and shelling homes. Israel says it's reviewing reports of civilian casualties. And in this age of social media, a new report finds more people around the world are actually feeling more lonely. Rory O'Neill reports.
More than one in five people, 23% worldwide, tell Gallup that they felt loneliness a lot of the day yesterday. Research has shown that when people feel lonely, it makes other issues like sadness, stress, and anger even worse. Loneliness is a big issue in many African nations, according to the Gallup survey, less so in Kosovo, Estonia, and Vietnam. I'm Rory O'Neill.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox have won back-to-back games after opening their series against the Athletics with a 12-9 victory at Fenway Park. The three-game set continues tonight, first pitch at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Still dealing with a muggy morning, temperatures in the low 70s as we wake up on this Wednesday, and a lot of moisture in the air. You're going to feel it the second you're out the door, and hopefully you have the AC on, not just this morning, but into the day, because temperatures in the mid-80s, but with that muggy air, it's going to feel like the mid-90s. Again, breaks in the AC, super important on a day like today, as well as plenty of water. Overnight tonight, we're back into the low 70s, a couple showers tomorrow, not totally out of the question, and the mid-80s by the end of the day. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News Update brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
There's a story that we were following along with, by the way, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. But we were following along with the story of Ingersoll's Tavern, or Ingersoll's Ordinary, as it was known. And this is a very important site related to the Salem witch trials. It's actually in Danvers, Massachusetts, but it was part of Old Salem back when it was Salem Village. It encompassed Danvers and Peabody and, you know, the towns in that area. And so this tavern is historically significant because it is where they held the girls that were accused of being witches. It's where the townsfolk met, the village people met, not those village people, people of Salem Village, met to discuss what was going to go on in the actual trials. It's where they made accusations and tried to make the girls perform conjuring of witchcraft. And so it's very much historically significant, but it's also falling into disrepair. It's privately owned, and the person who owns it has not been keeping up with it. There's a hole in the roof. The property has been marked with a red X, which is what they put on buildings that if there's to be a fire, they don't want the fire department going in to try to save the building. Just let it burn because it's in that bad of a shape. And recently, the town of Danvers passed a bylaw that when you have a historically significant property, if you don't take care of it, the town can step in. And the town can step in and make, what they'll do is they'll hire somebody to do the necessary repairs. That person will come in and make the repairs. Then the town takes the property and sells it. And I believe they give the owner the difference after it covers the cost of the repairs. But basically, if you don't take care of a historic property in Danvers now, you lose the property. Now, there's a stringent process they have to go through in order to take the property. But
So this is an update that came from David McKenna of the Danvers Historic Commission. He says the commission met last Thursday and discussed the ordinary, the tavern, in light of the town's demolition bylaw, which was recently updated by town meeting to include demolition by neglect, which is the term for when you're just letting the house rot, basically. The town has sent letters to the owner stating that they are starting a process to place the house in receivership under the authority of the state attorney general's office. This means if the owner does not satisfy the town that the house is being cared for, they will, under this process, hire a contractor to bring it up to code, then auction it off to the highest bidder, pay off the contractor, and I believe the balance would go to the owner. The historic district regulations would require the exterior to be preserved, but the interior could be modernized. I reported to the commission the interest shown in their Facebook page, their Facebook group, rather, to form a 501c3 to take it over. However, I don't think it makes sense for it to go that route until we know what is going to be needed to restore it. My guess is, without having seen the inside, is that it is likely to run well over $500,000 because I'm sure it will need to be completely brought up to code. The owner had promised to let me, some restoration experts, and the town in to inspect it in the end of June, but when pushed, has now said he needs till the end of July to get it ready for viewing. I told the board I will work in parallel with the town inspectors to see if we can get him moving on the nonprofit route, but which is where he would allow for a nonprofit to take it over as long as nobody lived in the house. But if he misses the July 31st deadline, I have little hope for a nonprofit being able to move forward on the house. So they're going to start taking donations now for a rehabilitation fund for the assumption that the town will take it over. This is the Historic Commission I'm speaking of. But it's still a little bit up in the air, but that's where it stands right now. The owner has not let them in yet, and it's unknown if he's going to comply with this deadline, and so the town may have to move forward with putting the house into receivership. Now, I don't know how it works in Danvers, but the idea of bringing a building up to code and having to modernize the inside are two completely different things. If you are running this as a historic operation, and if that's what the goal is of it, you don't need to bring it up to code. You don't need to have all new electrical wiring put in, because you're actually going to want to rip out the electrical wiring to make it like it was in the 1690s. You're not going to need to fix the plumbing because you're probably going to take the bathroom out. Now, some historic places will keep a bathroom for staff to use. Some historic places will keep some electricity to run an alarm system and security cameras. But it's not the same stringent codes that it needs. In fact, if the house is not kept up on the inside, that might be more beneficial to you if you want to make it more historic, because it'll be easier to rip down, you know, old wallpaper that's been crumbling and to be able to rip up rugs that might have gotten moldy, because you're going to want the hardwood floors, the original hardwood floors. And I don't know if there's anybody left from the Wareham Historical Society that was still there in the 70s when Raymond Ryder led the 60s and 70s when he led the reverse restoration of the Fearing Tavern. But they took what was a modern house with all the modern amenities, stripped all that out, and made it like it was in the 1600s and 1700s again. And that's what they could be doing in this building. So maybe it's worth someone from Danvers coming down to Wareham to see how it was done. I'm going to reach out to David McKenna and make that suggestion. But I just wanted to give you an update on that because we've been following along with that story. We're going to take a break here. When we come back on the other side, I've got another interesting story about Massachusetts history. Some very, very, very important pieces of not only Massachusetts history, but U.S. history. Actually, dare I say, world history were found recently. So we'll talk about that. Before we get into that, though, and before we get into the break, I'm going to remind you, listen, today is going to be a gross day outside. It's going to get rainy, and it's probably not going to be a great day for going out and grilling. However, That should mean you still shouldn't stop by the butcher shop and get yourself something delicious. You can get meat and chicken and steak and all that stuff that you can throw on the grill, you know, maybe tomorrow. But you can also get all the great pre-made food that they make there. You can get some of their octopus if they have it today. Fantastic. Their homemade rice pudding. Amazing. Maria does a great job with that. You can get, they always have things like casserole, Bafana. They always have great food ready to go. You can stop in for lunch. You can stop in, get something to take home for dinner. And then, of course, you can also get all your meat perfectly cut just the way that you want it. Prime and choice. And everything else you need, because it is an old school neighborhood market. When you walk into the butcher shop, you're going to feel like, especially if you're a little older than I am, you're going to feel like this is the kind of market we used to shop at when I was a kid. It's got the things that you would need in the supermarket, but it doesn't feel like a supermarket. It feels like an old-fashioned shop. And that's what the butcher shop is all about. The Pinaretta family has been running it for over 40 years. They've been doing it right, and they want to welcome you into their family. So stop by the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, and let me know. Let me know what you get and what you thought of it. All right, I'm going to take this break now. We'll be back in a few moments. Such an underappreciated AC/DC song. 508-996-0500. Let me take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. You know, Sketty was looking for you yesterday, Colleen.
Oh, really?
She said she hadn't heard from you in a while.
I don't even know her. I just been listening to her on the radio.
Right, and that's, she said she hadn't heard you call in.
Oh, that was nice of her. I just lost my sister, the one that was in the hospital the same time as you.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. She just passed away 2 weeks ago of cancer there. I told you she had the, oh, my God. I just woke up. The real bad one. Pancreatic cancer, yes. She had a large tumor. They didn't see it. The doctors around here, one of the doctors didn't see it. He said, it's probably nothing. It's probably just a mass. But he was in Boston, and it was already spreading. So she didn't last long, which God was good. She was suffering really bad. So anyway, yeah, she had just passed, but she's not suffering anymore. So
our condolences to you and your family.
Oh, thank you so much. I was going to say too. I wanted you and Chris to run for mayor, but you don't live in New Bedford. That's what I called yesterday, and I told Chris that. Because I missed, because he was talking about the mayor. I like the mayor, though. But you guys are so smart and know everything. So if you lived in New Bedford, that'd be a great thing.
It's not a job I would want.
I know it. I know. But that's too bad.
Too much responsibility.
I know it. So you had a good time at the concert?
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic night.
Oh, great. I love Alana. Oh, Jesus, I can't say her name. Morissette, she's awesome.
And sounds
Joan Jett too.
She sounds amazing. You know, Alana sounds just like she does on the record. Her voice has not changed at all.
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounded like a great club. Must have been hot though, was it? No.
Yeah, I didn't even really notice once I was there.
No, well, you had your big bottle with you, right? The water.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep. I stayed hydrated.
Oh, that's good. They didn't serve beer and all that, did they?
They were, but I didn't have any.
Yeah, that makes it worse. But anyway, I wanted to call in. I know I heard her say that on his program, too, that he hasn't heard, that she was glad she heard from me. But God bless her. That was nice of her to say that. Well, but anyway, you have a great day.
You as well.
Yeah, you have a great day. See you later. Bye-bye.
And we do have to take our final break of the program. We'll be right back. And we are out of time. But that story I was going to tell you about, 5 musket balls were found.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.